Welcome back to the Deep Dive. So, if you operate in the B2B services space, you know this feeling. Your website is supposed to be this this engine, right? Generating qualified sales conversations. But instead, you're just looking at traffic numbers. You've definitely felt that sharp pain of high visits and just agonizingly low conversion rates. You're pouring all this budget into the top of the funnel, and well, nothing meaningful is coming out the bottom.
It's one of the biggest structural issues we see in the B2B world. The core premise our research points to is, well, it's brutal but essential. Most B2B service pages are failing you. And it's not because the writing is technically bad. It's because they behave like digital brochures. They spend 90% of their energy just describing what the company does, and maybe 10% actually guiding a risk-averse buyer toward a decision. They're designed as cost centers, not sales assets.
That's a huge distinction right there. Brochure versus sales asset. So, okay, let's unpack that. Because when a busy decision maker lands on a service page, we know they have these two silent questions in their head.
Exactly. They aren't asking, tell me your origin story. No, they're asking, one, do you understand my situation, my specific pain points, better than all the other tabs I have open? And two, and this is critical, is it safe to start a conversation with you? Will this lead to a hard pitch, or will it lead to actual progress? The sources confirm that if your page can't answer those two questions, and fast, that expensive traffic you paid for just becomes expensive noise.
Right, it just vanishes. So our mission today is to outline a complete structural blueprint for this, an 8-step decision path, really, to remove that doubt and that risk for the buyer. The goal here is high-quality, pre-qualified consultation requests. We need to install guardrails for them. So let's start right at the top, above the fold. Step one, creating instant clarity in the hero section.
This is where the biggest conversion mistake happens in B2B. Every single time. Companies start with this self-referential language, their name, their founding story, some vague mission statement. You have to understand, the first 2 seconds, they're not about you. They are all about the buyer's desired outcome. Leading with anything else forces the user to do the work, to translate your company speak into their problem, and, most just won't bother.
That shift in focus feels so crucial, starting with the outcome. It's what creates that instant clarity. And the documentation we reviewed gives us this fantastic, really exact formula for the hero section's subheadline.
Yeah, and it's powerful because it forces you to be specific. It just strips away all the vagueness. The formula is outcome plus ideal client plus the method or the constraint that you remove. If you use that structure, you're just compelled to answer three things in one breath. What are you delivering? Who is it for? And what actually changes after you implement it?
Can you give us those practical examples again? Because I think that's where the formula really clicks.
Sure. Think about the classic weak B2B headline. Something like, we provide comprehensive copywriting services. It tells me nothing. Applying the formula, you craft something precise, like service page copy that turns specialized B2B traffic into high-intent consultation requests without vague, time-wasting claims. Or, maybe something even more specific. Conversion copywriting for B2B SaaS service pages. Clarify your value, reduce buyer risk, and win more qualified calls. You immediately frame it around a result.
And once you've hooked them with that clarity, you immediately need a low-friction call to action, the CTA. The research consistently shows the power of having both a primary and a secondary CTA.
Absolutely. The primary is the big ask, right? Request a consultation, but you add no commitment to lower the stakes. But the secondary CTA, something like view in-depth case studies or download the blueprint checklist, that's a sign of trust. You're giving the buyer a way to engage with low commitment. It keeps them in your ecosystem. And this is where we get into the UX writing of it all. There is a crucial rule here. Button labels must describe the outcome, not the action.
Oh, that contrast is so important because it shifts the whole psychological weight of the click, right? So you're contrasting the weak sort of admin language like submit with something strong and outcome-based like book my 15-minute review.
Exactly. The click feels purposeful. It feels like you're getting something, not just handing over paperwork. That's the difference.
Perfect. That leads us smoothly into section two. So we have clarity. Now we need to define the value, framed through this lens of risk reduction. Step two is defining the B2B value proposition. Why does the research keep saying that in B2B, a value prop is primarily a risk reducer?
Because B2B buyers operate under tremendous risk.
Yeah.
Think about it. They're investing large sums of budget. They're investing their time. And crucially, they are investing their own professional reputation by recommending you. So your value proposition has to explain why engaging with you makes them fundamentally safer than, say, trying to build it internally or choosing a cheaper, less specialized competitor.
So it's not enough to just say, we're great. You have to be specific. The sources outline four patterns for this, four ways to make that risk mitigation tangible. Let's walk through those.
Okay, the first is literal risk reduction. You replace their internal guesswork with a tested, repeatable system. Second, you're selling time reduction. A good service page pre-answers objections, which cuts down the sales explanation time needed on the actual call.
That's fascinating. The copy itself actually accelerates the sales cycle. What are the other two?
Third is guaranteeing lead quality. You're promising to generate fewer, curious clicks and more genuinely qualified requests, so their sales team isn't wasting time. And fourth, you address the dreaded opportunity cost. You explicitly stop the expense of paying for traffic that never converts. You have to state that tangible value.
That shift from intangible claims to tangible risk reduction is a game changer. Okay, so now for step three, the what you get section. We know generic lists of deliverables like strategy, copywriting, design, they just get ignored. But buyers also distrust ambiguity. So how do we structure this?
You have to use a crucial mini structure for each deliverable. It's like a four-part harmony. You name it, sure, but then you detail the why it exists, so the problem it solves, the concrete output, like the files they'll get, and the ultimate outcome, the business result.
Okay, let's deep dive on that with the example from the sources, the service page copy itself. How does that structure work for something like messaging discovery?
Right, if you just list messaging discovery, it sounds like filler. But if you structure it, the why is that it avoids company-focused copy that alienates the buyer. The output is a documented hierarchy of their pain points. Oh. And the critical outcome is copy that speaks the buyer's language and just melts their skepticism.
And what about something like UX writing for forms? That's often completely overlooked.
100%. Here, the output is the specific form labels, the error messages, the reassurance micro copy we talked about. The why is that simple form errors and fear of spam absolutely kill conversions. And the outcome, fewer drop-offs and more completed requests. You're always, always selling the result of the deliverable.
That structured approach is really the backbone here, and it leads us right to step four, which is about building unshakable trust using proof. We all know case studies are important, but how do we make our proof feel similar enough to the buyer's reality?
Proof works when the buyer can see themselves in the success story and think, yeah, that could be me. The sources suggest a simple four-part logic for a case study. Start with the vivid before what was broken. Describe the action, what you changed. Detail the after what improved with numbers, and end with one sharp insight, the key lesson.
That's great for established firms. But what about a company that's worried about giving away their secret sauce? Or, maybe they're just starting out and don't have those huge formal case studies yet.
It's a really common barrier, and the docs offer great alternatives. You can use a short mini case that just focuses on one dramatic metric change, or a before versus after copy snippet, which is really visual and powerful.
And you also mentioned the most important alternative, process proof.
Exactly. If you can't show the client's story, show the system that guarantees success. Buyers trust systems and predictability more than they trust vague claims of talent. Showing your methods step by step makes an opaque service feel like a predictable, structured system. It limits their risk.
That transparency connects right to step five, high-impact trust signals. So we know logos are table stakes now. What are the signals that really reduce buyer risk?
Trust is built through clarity, through predictability. So high-impact signals include deep specialization. You need to say what you're best at and avoid we do everything.
Mm.
Second is detailed process transparency, explicit steps, timelines, and finally, strong delivery commitments, revision rounds, response times, all of that.
Okay, so we've covered clarity, risk reduction, trust. The next logical piece, and a huge part of risk, is cost. Let's talk step seven, pricing page copy. Why is providing pricing context, even without a fixed price, such a crucial decision stabilizer?
Because without any context, the buyer's mind just fills that vacuum with fear. They immediately assume this is going to be too expensive or this process is going to be a total mess. Providing context manages those fears up front. It makes the decision to even talk to you so much easier.
And the sources detail three patterns that work really well for this, even without a static price.
Yep. First, the range plus drivers model. You say starts at, and then list the variables that change the scope. Second, tiered packages, starter, growth, scale, but you have to tie those tiers to a specific business situation the client is in. And third, my favorite for clarity is outcome-based scope. You define the package really clearly. One complete service page plus all UX writing plus three revision rounds. No ambiguity.
That brings us right back to the most critical action point, which is step six, the CTA. Now that we've handled pricing context, the CTA block is ready for that final conversion push. You called it a micro contract.
It is. The terms are simple. You give us your time, we guarantee we will reduce your risk. And the CTA block itself has to make three things totally obvious and irresistible. What happens next, how long it takes, and what the visitor gets out of it.
So using that template from the research, you'd lead with the benefit.
Precisely. The headline for the CTA block should be outcome-driven. In 15 minutes, we'll identify the three blockers killing your leads. And then you follow that with crucial assurance microcopy like, no obligation, if we're not a fit, we'll tell you. That just dramatically lowers the barrier to entry.
And the form itself, so often they look like tax documents.
Keep it short, name, email, URL. But then add just one smart question for context, something like, what is the number one goal of this page? That single question shifts the form from a chore to a conversation. It qualifies the lead for your team.
Which brings us to the final mechanical step. Step eight, scannability. B2B decision makers, they scan first. They only read deeply if the page has earned it.
You have to structure the page to reward that scanning behavior. So short, outcome-based headlines, bullet points, and this crucial design principle called proof near claims. Mm-hmm. If you make a big claim like, we increase leads by 50%, don't bury the proof at the bottom of the page. You follow the claim immediately with a mini case or a testimonial snippet.
So the page is almost built for a speed reader who just needs reassurance at every stop.
Exactly. And because the page needs to be long to be persuasive, you have to repeat that primary CTA every screen length or two. Don't make them scroll all the way back up to find the button when they're finally ready.
And all these steps, they're measurable. But the research stresses we have to radically change what we measure. We need to stop celebrating vanity metrics like time on page.
Absolutely. The core metrics are CTA click-through rate, form completion rate, and most importantly, the actual lead quality. And you have to implement a sales feedback loop. You have to ask your team, did this page pre-answer the right objections? Was this lead actually qualified? That's the only way you refine the path.
And this entire blueprint, really, it's designed to get rid of those common failures that are just killing consultation requests right now.
Which are almost always structural failures. Starting the page with about us, listing deliverables without outcomes, using a weak CTA like contact us, offering zero pricing context, and designing forms that feel like paperwork. This blueprint fixes all of those systematic issues.
Wow, what a detailed and actionable set of insights. I think the core takeaway we're left with here is that lead gen copy for B2B isn't about being long or short. It's about being structured copy designed specifically to answer every stage of buyer doubt.
It reaffirms that critical distinction. You know,
yeah.
General website copy is there to inform. Service page copy is structured to convert intent into a specific measurable next step. If your service page isn't working, it's not a writing problem, it's an engineering problem.
So what does this all mean for you listening right now? If your service page is getting traffic, but it's just bleeding qualified conversions, the source material suggests the fastest improvement you can make involves three quick fixes. One, rewrite the hero section for pure outcome clarity using that formula. Two, add process proof or a mini case right next to the first major claim you make. And three, redesign that low-risk CTA block to specify exactly what the buyer gets in that conversation.
So the challenge we'll leave you with is this. Which of those three quick structural fixes will you test first on your own service page to start turning that expensive noise into high-quality, pre-qualified leads? Because that clock is ticking on your opportunity cost.